Hi, Amherst Eclectic, back for another podcast, and today I just happened to be looking through some fitness equipment, and I am looking for things that are, you know, all over core, legs, all that I can do in one exercise to cut down my time of working out. And, you know, over time, I've had injuries from playing soccer, from racing bikes, from riding motocross. I've had different injuries from, you know, just running, walking, falling on a bike when you're slipping on mud that's come down, you know, water that's come up off of maybe a waterway and there's mud there and you slipped in that. I've done that. I've literally been going on a slant down by a river up on a cement, cement area, near a river, and they had a slant on it. It was just a slight grade, and I rode my bike over it, and because I went to the side just a little bit, it wasn't even, like, majorly visible that it had this slant at this area. I literally fell down off my bike because the balance between the wheels and the slant, and it wasn't conducive, and I fell. Like, everybody was, like, shocked. And one time when I was coming back, because I take off from my house, go bike riding, come back, I'll go out, you know, 15 to 20 miles and come back. Anyway, I was coming back and I was coming up over from a road, and, you know, it was like a brick road. I was coming up from a road onto an alleyway, and it had rained a lot. I mean, we're getting a lot of rain now because of climate change. And so it was really a lot of mud that had gotten drugged down into the streets, which, you know, unprecedented that we have these sort of things now, right? The things that you've never had to deal with before, now you're having to deal with. Mud up on, coming up from waterways and staying on bikeways and things like that, and sidewalks. Well, there was so much mud that had gone down the street, and, you know, this was, you know, it was a downhill, and I was coming up the hill and then going into off up into this little alleyway, and my tire, and this is a mountain bike, this isn't even my racing bike, this was my mountain bike, because we went on a bike ride and then we went to some backwoods and then we came home. But anyway, so this tread on there is like some thick, you know, major tread on this mountain bike. So my tire caught that mud tread that was coming down the hill, and you know how you go up into the alleyway, it's kind of elevated. My tire caught that and slipped on the mud, and I kid you not, my bike went sideways, and I went from being in one direction to being the other way, like going from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and my bike just spun. And the tire didn't go up. It didn't go up onto the grade or anything. It just spun because the mud caught it. And like I said, we're talking major tread on this tire. So it's the kind of stuff we're dealing with because of climate change. But, you know, rain in the middle of the winter and things like that. And when I went from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, like totally spun to the other side, I went flat down onto the ground, and there were people who drove by. I was with somebody else who was in front of me who had already gotten up that grade. Somebody was driving by and they got out of their car and stopped because that was just how horrific my fall was. Like, she said she had never seen anything like it. And we figured it out. It was because of the mud. So I've had some injuries. Like, I got up from that and I hurt everywhere. And I had scrapes on me and cuts. It was horrific because I fell on a brick road. Like, this is a neighborhood brick road, but these are old brick roads, right? So, yeah, I've had some injuries. So I'm trying to find something that I can get an all-over body workout that is low impact, and I can do it at home, and I don't have to join a gym for it. So I've been looking at different machinery, and one of the things that I found were like these core exercisers. And as I'm looking at these core exercisers, like, there's tons of stuff. There are these exercisers that they mimic riding a horse or riding a bull. And if you watch the videos, it's kind of hilarious. And it's one of the reasons that I'm talking about it on this channel. But it basically looks like a woman sitting on top of a man. What is that called? Is that called the cowboy style? Well, the cowboy would be turned around. But anyway, you're basically, when a woman is on top of a man having sex, and they're just kind of moving around, sitting up on top of a man, moving around, either in a chair or lying on a bed, and legs maybe down to the side or whatever. And that's what this thing mimics, right? There's, it's called I'm trying to think of the name of it, Rodeo Core. And then there's other ones. iGallop is actually, the Rodeo Core has no electronics to it. It's just you making all the motion, right? And the iGallop is one that has electricity to it, and it moves around like a horse. And then there was another one, I can't remember the name of it, but it's really popular in like Japan. And apparently these kind of machines and these kind of workout gears have gotten really huge in Asian countries, particularly in Japan, because they give such a great workout. They work out your legs, they work out your core, and you know, you're basically moving around like you would be moving around on a horse, or if you're getting bucked, if you're riding a one of those bull rider things at the gym, right? And it's so hilarious because as I'm looking for equipment, I bumped into this. I didn't even know these things existed. I had never seen them before, and I think the iGallop, I think Ellen DeGeneres did a video on it. If you look it up, Ellen DeGeneres iGallop, I did come across that video. But it basically looks like it's really naughty. Like Ellen kept saying, this is really naughty. We shouldn't be showing this at this time of the day. But it was really funny to watch. But they actually do give a good workout. And I think she also did, in the same show, I think she did something that was called the Hawaii chair. And it's basically a chair that has controls on the arms on each side. And in the middle of it is circular. The seat where you sit is circular. And that middle circular seat moves around. Like, it just moves around, so it moves your hips and everything. Basically trying to engage your core. Now, when you're riding these bull riding or horse, you know, electric or non-electric, you're basically supposed to sit up straight on them so that your hips and the bottom half of you is just moving around, and you are holding the top half of you as straight as you possibly can, and you're engaging your core and other muscles, you know, on your upper body, and then all your lower body is getting worked out as well, particularly on the Rodeo Core device, because your feet are going to be pushing down on a lever to kind of get the whole thing moving. And you can go forward, you can have a forward motion on that thing, or you can have a backward motion. Now, if you get online, you're probably going to laugh at these things, but they actually work. Every review, almost every review that I have read about this stuff, everyone's raving about how this stuff works and how it's gotten them in shape, or it's gotten the core in shape. And I thought, well, hey, you know, I kind of skipped over this and found them on accident. But while I was looking, like when I was going and just doing like searches online, when I was going into like Google or whatever, I found an article. And, you know, I kind of wondered if this would maybe give somebody like the sensation that they are having sex, if they're not somebody who has a lot of sex, and that maybe it might excite people if they're writing these things. I mean, we're talking, these things could excite men or women. It's not, you know, If you watch the videos, you'll know what I mean. But anyway, so I came across an article. What is a corgasm? I kid you not, I have not heard of this. Maybe I have heard of it and I just forgot. But what is a corgasm? Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. What a corgasm is. Basically, your core and an orgasm. Okay, so here's what it says. A corgasm is an exercise-induced orgasm. Okay. Some people who experience corgasms love them, while others think they're a nuisance. Whether you've experienced a corgasm or not, and whether you enjoyed it or not, here's everything you should know about exercise-induced orgasms. Has anybody experienced this? I have never experienced this, but okay. I'm glad I haven't, because most of my life I've worked out in gyms, or I've been taking walks or riding bikes. That would have been a little awkward, but I have heard of people who get orgasms in strange places, just out of nowhere. Will get an orgasm because something in the way that their body is made up, they get that sensation and they get an orgasm. Okay. A corgasm is an orgasm that occurs while performing a physical activity. It's coined the corgasm because the experience is tied closely to abdominal exercises, although researchers aren't sure what exactly triggers the corgasm. We don't know how corgasm happens, though in many ways this is similar to an orgasm from sexual stimulation, the processes of which are still being understood, says Debbie Habernick, PhD professor at the Indiana University School of Public Health, author of The Corgasm Workout. Okay, so I guess she has a workout for making sure you have a corgasm. I don't know. Interestingly, corgasms might be purely physiological experiences. As most people who experience corgasms report them, they weren't thinking about sexual activities before the fact. Repeated contractions and fatigue of the core and the pelvic muscles seem to contribute. How common are corgasms? Little research exists on the concept of corgasm. Well, probably not in America because we're uptight and won't talk about sex. But according to Herbenick's studies, it seems that corgasms might be more common than people think. Well, I'm sure they are. I was watching some of that equipment and I'm thinking to myself, there's probably some people that would have an orgasm on these things, right? Okay. It's not exactly a topic some people would want to talk about. Again, we are America. People don't talk about sex, and they should. They should be more open about it. It doesn't have to be raunchy. Just more honest about it. Okay. So the societal conversation about corgasms isn't readily available. Nonetheless, Herbenick's research suggests corgasms are relatively common, at least among women. In a news release about the study, Herbenick said, "These data are interesting because they suggest that orgasm is not necessarily a sexual event, and they may also teach us more about the bodily processes underlying women's experiences of orgasm." A survey in the CrossFit Journal reveals that the phenomenon is relatively common among CrossFit athletes. Data was from the 2014 National Survey of Sexual Health and Behavior, which included 1,012 men and 1,083 women, ages 14 years and older. So, basically, from after puberty up, right? And revealed that 9% of those surveyed reported having experienced exercise-induced orgasms. Not all of these orgasms were due to core exercises, however. Can anyone have a corgasm? There's no guarantee that you will achieve a corgasm by doing the exercises listed below. Just like, oh, they're going to list some exercises? Okay. Just like some people can achieve orgasms during sexual activities, not everyone will be able to achieve corgasms during exercise. Okay. Men can also have corgasms as evidenced by personal anecdotes around the internet. And in Herbernick's book, however, it's probably less common in men. Additionally, I would think it would be more common in men's because men seem to not have a problem with having orgasms and letting everybody know they're doing it. Anyway, additionally, Herbernick says a primary difference is that men experience ejaculation from a corgasm, and an interesting aspect of it is that they typically bypass an erection prior to the ejaculation. That's interesting. Not unheard of, but interesting. What does a corgasm feel like? A corgasm likely feels similar to an orgasm you get while engaging in sexual activities, with some key differences. For women, a corgasm may feel like a deep vaginal orgasm. That sounds good. Which could be extra pleasurable for women who can't achieve orgasm during vaginal penetration. So women who can't experience an orgasm typically might be able to experience a corgasm. Interesting. In the corgasm workout, Herbernick describes an interview study she and her fellow researchers did in which women who experienced corgasms participated. Some had no other experience of orgasms to compare it to. While others had experience with orgasms from masturbation, intercourse, oral sex, or other kinds of stimulation. You know, sex toys, right? For those who also had vaginal intercourse orgasms, they consistently said it felt much more like an intercourse orgasm than an external glands clitoris orgasm. One writer on the Medium explains that her corgasm felt like it started internally and bubbled outward, rather than starting from the surface of the clitoral orgasm as a clitoral orgasm might. This is likely because the sensation starts with your core and pelvic musculature rather than the nerve endings on and around your genitalia area. So, yeah, that probably would feel different. Because if the genitals are below, the core is above that. You know, the core is, you know, belly button up. Well, not really belly button up. A little bit below the belly button up. But yeah, that would feel different. I'm just kind of curious now because I've never had anything like that before happen. So now it's like, how can I? It's almost like you want to experience something like that if you haven't had it. Okay, anyway. For men, a corgasm might feel like a prostrate orgasm versus a penile orgasm because of stimulation. So, like when we discussed in other podcasts, I've discussed this in other podcasts about how you can actually... And you can do this for both male and female, but you can give a man an orgasm anally by just kind of, there's an area just inside the anus where you don't even have to put anything up any very far into a man's anus. And there's a section just right up inside where you can stimulate that and it will give him an orgasm. So maybe that's more what it feels like for a man, is what they're saying. Okay. It might feel like prostrate orgasm. Okay, similar to women, this difference is likely due to the activation of the core and the pelvic muscles. Like I said, you know, anus, that's pelvic, right? So, corgasm exercises, generally exercises that engage your abdominal muscles, are more likely to induce a corgasm than exercises that don't engage your core. Movements that engage your pelvic floor muscle can help, like Kegel exercises, I would think, right? Or, there are exercises you can do that actually help with your Kegel area. If you lay on your back and you put your legs out in front and bend them, and then you're pushing your pelvis up, you know how you've seen people do those exercises where you're pushing your, basically, you're taking half your body from, I would say, the middle of your back up, and you're elevating it off the ground with your legs bent in front of you, and you're pushing up. It looks like you're having sex. Let's just say that. It looks like you're having sex because I've got a story about that. I used to do different exercises at a gym I was at, and there was a male side and there was a female side. Like, the guys were not allowed over the female side. But here's the kicker. They had a pool in the middle. It was a Bally's, Bally's workout place. They had a pool in the middle with windows everywhere. So if the guys were across the other way working out on their side, the men's side, and they could see the women working out on the other side. And of course, this is what these fitness places do because, a big part of people coming to the gym is they're picking up on other people. You're meeting male, you're meeting prospective people you could date or have a one night stand with or whatever, right? So, yeah, they're gonna put glass there so that the guys can see and the girls can see the guys. I mean, I'll admit it. I there were moments I stopped and watched cute guys lifting weights. I mean, But the thing is that if you are laying down on, they have like the yoga mats and the mats, and you were doing these exercises, like the ones I was telling you, doing leg lifts. Like, I would do leg lifts and different things on mats, sit-ups. And then I would do these exercises, and I felt comfortable because I was sort of over to the right side, and I didn't think anybody could see me. But it got to the point, I guess, where I was there the same time every day, and doing my exercises pretty much the same every day. Anyway, that it got out that I was doing these exercises. So at a certain time of the day, when they would see me go over, they would all kind of gather and be standing there staring at me as I'm doing this, the exercise I just described to you, where your butt's up in the air and you're just kind of pushing, you're pulsing up. And that actually gets your core, gets your butt, gets the back of your legs, gets the top of your legs. It works out a lot of different areas. And you're like, your arms are down to the side, and you're just kind of using your core to and your butt to lift yourself up. Great exercise. I could see, and it looks like you're having sex, basically. And so these guys would just go crazy anytime I did that. And so I had to stop doing it. I had to stop doing it at the gym. I could only do it at home because they would all just stop everything and just sit there and stand there and stare at me while I was doing it. It's crazy. It's a great exercise. But I could see that exercise maybe triggering a corgasm for somebody. Now, maybe if you were like in really tip-top shape, like an Olympic sports shape, maybe you could do that. I don't know. I mean, I was in really good shape, but I'm never gonna compete in the Olympics, though. I just wanted to be in shape and maintain, not getting fat, and I didn't need to go into the extreme, Olympic body sort of shape, right? But I could see that exercise doing that, right? Let's see. The respondents described a variety of exercises leading to their first exercise-induced orgasm, including, well, like I said, they said earlier in this thing that anything that engages the pelvic floor, right, which is basically what you do Kegel exercises for. But they were saying these induced exercises could be and include climbing ropes, abdominal exercises, and yoga, sit-ups, and crunches. Now, I guess these are the list of ones that could cause this. Sit-ups and crunches. Any variation of sit-ups and crunches may stimulate arousal or induce a corgasm, thanks to the way your abdominal and hip muscles contract. So that's sit-ups and crunches. Lying leg lifts. Now, this might be similar to what I was talking about earlier that I was doing. Lying leg lifts. Reddit users have reported experiencing corgasms while doing lying leg lifts, which likely occurs due to the hollow position needed to perform the exercise. Planks and hollow holds, like leg lifts, planks and hollow holds require you to draw your navel in and squeeze, which can trigger a corgasm, which, remember they said it comes from the core. Squats may induce a corgasm, especially on the ascent when you're pushing from your glutes and bracing your core muscle. I guess I could see that too. I hate squats, but I'll do the machine where you can sit down and push the weights up rather than do a squat. I just do squats. It just seems like they're ruining your joints, ruining your knees. Anyway, hanging ab exercises. You might be able to achieve a corgasm by doing exercises like hanging leg raises, hanging tucks, hanging flutter kicks, or simply hanging from a bar while tightening your core. See, I don't do this kind of stuff. I try to opt off for, I do core exercises, but I don't do anything this extreme. So that's why I was saying it's probably people who are pushing to be that Olympic style muscular, in shape kind of person. Okay, pull-ups and chin-ups. Again, I do this, but not like to an extreme. When done correctly, your body adopts a hollow position during pull-ups and chin-ups. This boat-like position requires you to draw your navel into your spine and squeeze your core, increasing your chances of having a corgasm. Rope climbs. Well, I could see, obvious reason why that could happen, right? Rope climbs engage your entire body, but especially your core, in a repetitive manner. They also cause more friction, in the genital area. If you can perform rope climbs, this move might be one of the most effective ways to achieve a corgasm. Oh, so they're giving us instruction on how to achieve a corgasm. Okay. Yoga poses. Any yoga poses that require you to engage your core could induce a corgasm. Examples include boat pose, bridged pose, eagle pose, dolphin pose, cat pose, chair pose, and crow pose. Interesting. Other exercises. Ab exercises seem to be the most common movements that lead to exercise-induced orgasms. But people have reported experiencing corgasms or near corgasms while running, especially uphill, sprinting, lifting weights. I could see lifting weights because you're really pushing on those muscles. Cycling, I mean, obviously cycling, right? I mean, I bike all the time. I mean, I have cross-country bikes, I have racing bikes, I have mountain bikes. I do a lot of biking. I've never had that happen. Okay, sets and reps, in some cases, it's not the actual exercise that induces a corgasm. Instead, it's the effort level. Sets and reps. Okay. According to some Reddit users, some said they have experienced corgasms when they're pushing themselves to get through a few final reps. There's few final reps where it's really hard and you're really like, trying to get to the end because you're using your muscle. Okay. This could indicate that corgasms are more likely to happen at muscle fatigue, as muscle fatigue occurs. If you find yourself experiencing corgasms when the intensity of your workout increases or you're nearing muscle fatigue, you can try shortening your sets to avoid a corgasm. How to avoid a corgasm? Okay, I guess they were just telling you how to have one. Now let's see how to avoid one. Because I would imagine that could be a little embarrassing. Oh my God. I can't even imagine being at the gym, in the middle of the gym, with everybody lifting around you, and they're having an orgasm in the middle of the gym with everybody around. That could be a little embarrassing. Okay. How to avoid a corgasm. In the case, this case, you find corgasms uncomfortable, embarrassing, or otherwise unpleasant, you can take steps to stop them. Because people often experience corgasms from some exercises, but not others. For now, the best way to stop is to avoid those kind of exercises, obviously. And as mentioned above, you can try ending your sets before you reach that muscular fatigue to see if that helps. If you have corgasms during distance-based exercises, such as cycling, running, try reducing the time or distance of your exercise. Or with cycling, you know, get better gel pads so you're not having so much friction. I don't know. Though this might not be ideal advice, we are still early in our learning about corgasms, and better advice will come through more research. Can exercise improve sexual orgasms? Now let me tell you, before we even go into this, heck yeah. If you're in shape and you're feeling good and your body is, you know, in excellent shape from head to toe, heck yeah, you're going to have better sex and better orgasms because you're healthier. If you're eating right, drinking lots of water, your body is going to respond more. In fact, they talk about, this is not the article, this is me, but they talk about how if you're, you know, people start to notice when they're getting in shape and they've lost weight and that their sex drive goes up. So if there's a couple that's married or living together, if one person gets in shape and the other one doesn't, and the other person's sex drive goes up, that's why they get jealous about their partner going to the gym or their partner losing weight, da da da, because their partner's not only feeling better, but they're also feeling like they want to have more sex, et cetera, right? So they see the improvements there, or they might think because that person has a higher sex drive that they're screwing around on them or something. So I think that's where those kind of thoughts come in. So if your partner's working out, get your butt to the gym with them so that you guys can sort of be on the same page. All right. Can exercise improve your orgasm? Turns out, exercise and sexual function may have a two-way relationship. No kidding. Studies show that exercise can improve your sex life in a number of ways, including reducing the risk of erectile dysfunction in men and stimulating arousal in women. I mean, A plus B equals C, people. If you're healthier, you're going to have a healthier reaction to sex. All right. Exercise may not directly increase your chances of having an orgasm during sex or increase the intensity of orgasms when you do have them, but research suggests that physical activity can make sex more enjoyable in the following ways. Exercise might help menopausal women find relief from symptoms that interfere with sex. And pelvic floor exercises in particular might provide extra relief. Now, you know, I have to go into more detail about that, but those of you who are going through menopause probably understand what they're saying. Several studies show that regular physical activity helps keep levels of certain hormones higher. Well, that's, you know, again, A plus B equals C. Fat is full of hormones. And, you know, testosterone and estrogen will get released out into your body because of fat. Or it will be reduced, whatever. But let's just say, the healthier you are, the thinner you are, the less fat you have on your body, the less you're going to have those negative hormones that are making things bad for you. Okay. Some studies show that regular exercise keeps your level of hormones higher, including the hormone, I wish I could say this, dehydrotestosterone. Dehydrotestosterone, which has been linked to orgasm frequency in men. There you go, guys. Let me spell it. DIHYDROTESTOSTERONE. Go look that up. That's where you want to get. Because it will kick your orgasm frequency up, man. Exercise can help you feel more confident and attractive, which is a big part of healthy sex life and feeling comfortable with your partner, particularly for women. And yeah, I would definitely say particularly for women. Because for me, you know, a lot of people, when they break up with somebody, when they're single, they get in better shape. It's the opposite for me. I want to be in better shape when I'm with somebody, because they're going to be seeing me naked, right? I'm going to have another human being that's going to be seeing me naked. So when I'm naked, I want to look good. So I will kick butt at the gym if I am in a relationship or in a marriage or whatever with somebody that I is going to see me naked every single day. So yeah. So I probably get in better shape when I'm in a relationship than when I'm not in a relationship. I'm not saying I'd be in bad shape when I'm not in a relationship, but I will go the extra freaking 5 miles, not just the extra mile. I will go the extra 5 miles to be in better shape because I'm going to be kicking it with somebody later on tonight and I want to look good. So yeah, it's definitely a motivator for me. And so I don't understand the people who gain weight when they're in a relationship. Ew, who wants to be with you if you're gaining weight and you look, people say, oh, you're gaining that weight, that means you're happy. No, I don't think so. When people gain weight, they're not happy. All right? They're not happy. Or when they're gaining weight, they're trying to gain the weight because they don't want that person to come near them. Because now they're, you know, maybe the relationship's not going well. I mean, that's the way I see it, you know. I could be wrong, but, you know, I don't think I am. Okay. All right, so a word from very well. Some people may enjoy corgasms and actively aim to achieve them, while others find them uncomfortable or distracting and prefer to avoid them. Whatever your stance is, it's worth experiencing with different exercises to find out which movements, if any, induce a corgasm for you, and then implementing or avoiding them based on whether you want to have the corgasm or not. Like I said, I've never had one, but I could see that being really embarrassing if you're in a public place. And I wouldn't want to have it in a public place. I mean, for me, that's not something I want to be doing, you know, like having a corgasm. But I mean, if it's not like this huge corgasm, it's just a sensation. Well, you know, it might not be too bad. Because you know how you can buy the vibrators that you put, like the beads that you put up inside a woman, or you wrap around a man, the sort of like the circle that you can wrap around a man's penis, and you can remotely activate it, like your partner can remotely activate the vibrations. So when you're in public, you can be doing it, or the underwear that you can buy that has the vibration inside. So, you know, that can be fun. That can be fun. So could a corgasm be fun? If it's not like this huge orgasm type thing. If it's just something like that, you know, where you're, you know, just kind of gently stimulated. Well, you'd have to have an orgasm, so it wouldn't have to be. I don't know. Depends on the person. But yeah, interesting. I just kind of tripped over that article and found it, and I just thought, that's interesting. I did not know about this. Corgasm. Have any of you had a corgasm? If you've had a corgasm, give me, drop me a line. Drop me a message. If you want to talk about it on the podcast. We can have a podcast where we both talk together I'd just ask you questions, and you wouldn't have to give your name or say who you are. But yeah, it would be interesting to talk to people who have had this happen to them, who can maturely speak about it. Not immaturely speak about it, but maturely speak about it on an adult level. And just kind of talk about your experiences with that. That would be something I'd be interested in talking to someone about, because I don't have any knowledge of that. But then again, you know, I'd also like to get people on that are gay and lesbian, homosexuals, people like that, because I don't experience that myself because I am not gay or lesbian. Same thing with this. If you've had a orgasm, it'd be interesting to speak to you. And it'd be interesting if we had a podcast, which, you know, I'd record it and then we could edit out anything you didn't want in it later. But, yeah, that we could maybe put that up. If anyone's had one, you know, drop me a line, send me a message. And, you know, I'm Amherst Eclectic. I'm not just on here during podcasts. I have an Instagram, and I also have a Facebook and a Twitter. So you can, you know, drop me a line there also. And, but preferably, you know, message me here. But if you don't hear back from me, contact me at the other places, because I'm still new to this podcast thing and I haven't really had any messages come in. So I'd really, you know, I'm not sure if I get one, because I keep saying this on all my podcasts, you know, drop me a line, send me a message, and I haven't gotten anything yet. So just let me know. And that would be something we could talk about, because it would be an interesting subject. Like, it, not in a funny way. It just to find out how it happens, how it feels, why it happens. It's just not anything that I've experienced. I mean, I can talk about all kinds of different sexual things that I've experienced, but, you know, that's one thing I haven't experienced. So, okay. Alrighty. So, until the next time. Until I find another one of these things that I didn't know exists and do a podcast about that. Amherst Eclectic. Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, and I'm back for sort of a continuation on the corgasm, because it was fascinating to me that this even happens. But I also did a little research, looked up a few more articles, because I didn't want to be giving information that wasn't correct. But there are actually videos on YouTube, and don't get all excited and think it's going to be some raunchy video. And not, they weren't raunchy, but it's basically they're showing you moves that they think that are said that you can do that might bring on a corgasm. My opinion on this overall is I don't think a corgasm is something you can make happen. That's just me, because I think if you can make it happen, there'd be a lot more news out there, right? There'd be a lot more news out there, particularly for women. There'd be a lot more being talked about out there to encourage women to do this, who aren't getting, you know, who are have men in their lives who are selfish and orgasm before them or whatever during sex. So I think there'd be a lot more about this being talked about if it was really a thing that you could make happen. I think this is an accidental kind of out of the blue thing that, yeah, I'm sure it happens. And I think it's more based on men and women who probably haven't had sex in a while, or who have been just been masturbating with themselves, you know, haven't had one-on-one sex with somebody else for a while, because I think that that's probably what would bring something on like this, is that they're not having a lot of sex, or they're not having a lot of one-on-one sex, and so the body sort of has a release, maybe even a stress release, maybe, you know, to have that orgasm. And maybe even, you know, while you're doing these movements every single day, maybe it even tricks the body and the brain into thinking you are having sex during that time. I mean, that's just, you know, off the top of my head. But if you haven't had a lot of sex and you're not having a lot of orgasms, I would say that those muscles in those areas, I would say your body, I would say your whole being is probably craving that because, you know, this is instinct. This is, it's evolution. It's, you know, it's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Most animals, you know, they're not thinking about, you know, what we normally think about when it comes to intimacy and sex. And they just have sex. And they do what they need to do at the time of year or whatever that they need to do it to procreate, to have babies, to keep the line going, right? So their species don't die out. We as humans have evolved mentally, brain-wise, intelligence-wise. And so sex every day for us is a thing that we can do. And because we understand that it's an enjoyable thing and that we don't need to just have it once a year to have a baby, right? So we've gotten to that point. Now, animals who live in the wild, they can't be having like a trillion babies around them because they would never survive, right? Or they would overpopulate the earth and, you know, natural selection, evolution. I think a lot of that comes into play where animals don't do that. They don't overpopulate. So unless we do something stupid like take predators out and overpopulate. But my point being that we can choose to have sex every day. And I think that over time, over evolutionary time for human beings, a lot of our bodies have changed. A lot of the things that we do have changed. Our brain capacities, our brains have gotten bigger over time, etc. So I think that this is just a release that the body has for something that technically at this point evolutionarily we should be having sex or having orgasms, right? And that's what the body's thinking. So that's just a theory of mine that I kind of surmised out of reading these articles and watching these videos. Now, when people are showing you these movements, I just don't think that it's going to bring it on. I just think it's a haphazard thing that happens. Now, I will say that I used to have an ex of mine whose friend and I got pretty close, who basically said that, you know, when I broke up with my ex, he tried to get with me. Let's just put it that way. He would always kid around and say if I hadn't been with my ex, he would be with me. But he would say to me when I was going to the gym and everything, he's like, you know what? You don't need to go to the gym. Just have more sex. And, you know, have more sex with my buddy, you know? And he's like, if you have more sex, then you're going to be in great shape. But I'm like, are you having more sex? Because you don't look like you're in that great a shape. I mean, he wasn't in bad shape, you know, but he wasn't like in excellent shape. So, but I do believe that having more sex does create health, right? It is healthy for us to have sex every day. Because not only is it, you know, everybody in their dirty minds, oh, sex, whatever. But you are doing a workout when you're having sex. You are working out every muscle, every part of your body when you're having sex. I mean, think about it, people. If you really have had sex in different positions and, you know, you're trying sex in different things around the house, whatever, it is a workout. You can get all hot and sweaty from having sex, right? And you can be sore the next day from things that you did when you had sex that you don't normally do because you're working on a muscle that you don't normally work out. And it's normal and it's an everyday thing that should be done. They've proven in research that, you know, having sex every day is actually really healthy. It helps to keep things flowing. They've even proven that it helps to keep, you know, your digestive system going, and it helps with heart health and blah, blah, blah. So between working out, that's why when you work out more, you have better sex. So between, you're healthier, right? So between working out and having sex, you know, your body's getting what it needs. I think if you're not doing those things, you know, maybe these people who are having these orgasms, or even people who hadn't worked out in a while and they're just trying to get back in shape again, right? So, I mean, that's just a theory, but let's waylay the theories and let's go into the article that I found. It's a self article and it's the truth about corgasms and how to have one. Now, again, I don't think you can induce it, but that's just my opinion. Like I said, if you could induce it, it'd be the talk of the town. Everybody be talking about it. It would be everywhere on TV, and everybody would be talking about how to do it, right? Of course, this is America. Maybe I'm wrong, because we don't talk about sex, do we? Okay, experts explain if you can boost your chances of having an orgasm during a workout. Exercise and sex are similar in more ways than one, which is a point I have, my ex's friend made, and I have made that point myself. There's a lot of these positions that you're doing when you're working out that, like I said, I was at the gym and guys would just stare at me when I was working out because, of course, their mind's going somewhere else when all I'm doing is doing a workout position that's helping to build a muscle, right? So exercise and sex are similar in more ways than one. For instance, they can both turn you into a sweaty, endorphin-flooded mess. And they both offer plenty of heart-healthy benefits. So on its face, a corgasm, quote-unquote, or exercise-induced orgasm, EIO, seems like an easy way to kill two birds with one very pleasurable stone. But in reality, exercise-induced orgasms are much more multifaceted than that. Here, experts explain what a corgasm really is and why they happen and how you can take control of your corgasm potential. Again, I've never had a corgasm. I mean, it's like shape, so I don't understand this. But anyway, what exactly is a corgasm? Corgasm is a term used to describe orgasms that seem to occur from exercises or movements that engage the core abdominal muscles. Let's see, it's the same lady that, same professor from Indiana University in the other article I referred to. The technical term is exercise-induced orgasms, although some women experience exercise-induced sexual pleasure, EISP, without going the full nine yards. In the book, this professor discusses how instead of feeling overtly sexual, many women say exercise-induced orgasms and sexual pleasure feel different. Well, of course they do. One woman said her exercise arousal felt closest to her vaginal intercourse, which we've talked about that already, and arousal just less intense, calling it more dull than the pleasure she felt during sex. When describing how that arousal felt while hiking, she added, "It's like the lead up to an orgasm when you're having sex." That's a good explanation. I don't think they talked about that in the other. It's like the lead up. So it's like the foreplay. It's like what you feel as you're getting more and more and more excited, and you're building to that orgasm, right? It's, when the blood is coming into the penis, when the blood is coming into the vagina, when, everything is getting, pink, as they call it, or red, because the blood's coming in, when the penis is becoming erect and becoming engorged, when the vagina is, pulsating and becoming more excited and gorging with blood, etc. I mean, it's just reality. That's what happens. When your erection is starting to spew a little more out of sperm, right? When women are starting to secrete and what you call getting wet, right? Those fluids are starting to come into the vaginal area that lubricates everything so it's not painful, right? And then the vagina starts to open up and expand so that you can then have a penis come in, which is why, you men need to wait before they, penetrate a woman. That's why you need foreplay. That's why you need to get your female partners excited, because all those things need to be happening. Blood needs to be coming in. She needs to be getting excited. The vagina has to be opening up more because it becomes flexible during more flexible during sex, and it opens up more. Because if you don't, you could hurt someone, right? Because they're not ready. They're not ready for you to put your erect penis. See what happens. I think that's the thing that guys need to remember. And maybe a good comparison for that is, you know how your penis is growing and it's getting erect and everything's happening? That's what's happening with the vagina. The vagina is basically the inside out penis, right? So the same thing is happening inside a vagina. It is getting ready to be able to have a penis come inside without it being painful or tearing or whatever. Because, you know, if you have sex with a woman and she's not ready, you can tear her skin. You can tear the walls of her vagina. And, you know, that can cause cancer. And, I mean, there's all kinds of studies that have shown the bad effects that can happen if a woman is raped and she's not wanting to have sex with somebody and it's forced on her, right? So, yeah, all these things are happening. So, yeah, so what this person is saying, all that buildup, you know, when you're trying to help your partner get ready, both male and female, to be at the point where you can then have penetration or sex and then eventually have an orgasm. So all of it leading up before the actual big moment, right? Before the orgasm. That's what this woman is saying that it feels like, that lead up to before the actual big orgasm. Okay, that sounds good to me. Sometimes that's, a lot of women have said that's all they've ever experienced, which is sad. You guys need to get on the ball and make sure that your partners are having major orgasms and not being so selfish about it. I mean, wouldn't that make you feel good to know that you've given a woman an orgasm every single time? I will not be with someone unless they do. I will not continue to have a relationship with someone unless I am having an orgasm every single time as well. That's just the way I feel about it. And it's worked for me. Don't have a problem. Haven't had a problem ever being with anyone or anyone wanting to do that. In fact, they're very excited about the fact that I do. Makes them feel pretty good about themselves. That I'm, you know, complimenting them in that way. Anyway, so she explained that their exercise-induced orgasms made them feel tingly, which, you know, that's the move of, you know, foreplay, in various parts ranging from their legs to their abdominals to their actual vaginas. So, man, that was just another explanation to you how a woman should feel before you were penetrating her. You should be making a woman feel all of those things, because that's the lead up to sex. All right. Okay, how do you exercise-induce orgasms happen? How do they happen? Experts don't have a definite answer. Well, yeah, because they don't happen, everybody. Experts don't have a definite answer as to which muscles cause EIO, although the corgasm term is catchy. It's not too... it's not 100% accurate. Let's see. In 2012, 530 women shared their experiences with exercise-induced orgasms and arousals with a sexual and relationships therapy. When it came to the kind of orgasm that caused these sensations, abdominal workout, whatever, was the clear winner. So, abdominal work is a clear winner to causing an orgasm, which is why they call them a corgasm. With 51% of the women surveyed reporting that ab exercises had led to EIO within the past 90 days. But it also turns out the phenomenon can happen during exercises as varied as weightlifting, 27%, yoga, 20%, and biking, 16%. So really, there's no singular, surefire way to achieve it. It seems to any other type of orgasm It's similar. I'm sorry. It's similar to any other type of orgasm in that it's more a matter of what works for one person instead of one specific thing that works for everyone. So, just like sex, not everyone's different. Everyone's unique on how they need what they need during sex, which is why you need to talk to your partners and be open with your partners, because everyone's different about what they need and in order to get to that big O, right? Men and women. And let's see, an exercise physiologist in Edmonton, Canada, has been exploring the mechanisms behind exercise-induced orgasms and sexual pleasure. And he says a popular theory is that they occur because of some sort of external friction. Well, hello. But if that were really the case, exercises like biking would probably take the lead in bringing about EIOs. Instead, this guy thinks it might come down to pelvic floor recoil or contractions of the same muscles. Kegel exercises. You know, this makes major sense, that target the Kegel, right? In a survey he did of 191 people, 52% of the respondents agreed. So I guess that's male and female. Habernick, the professor, is also of the mind that abdominal muscles are key in causing exercise-induced orgasms and sexual pleasure, but the exact process isn't clear. Of course it's not. Right now, we are actively recruiting women and men who experience exercise-induced orgasms, or should we say, the ones who admit to it, because there's probably a lot of people that this has happened to. Maybe they didn't know what's happening. Maybe they weren't sure what it was. You know, maybe they just thought it was a muscle spasm. I don't know. Orgasm to participate in a study about muscular movements. So far now, the answer about which specific muscles are involved is still in the works. So can you boost your chances of having an exercise-induced orgasm? Even though experts aren't exactly sure how they happen, you can structure your workouts to potentially make exercise-induced orgasms more likely. That's the premise behind this book, this professor's book, The Corgasm Workout, which focuses on four key factors in triggering EOLs. You challenge yourself. You're less likely to have an orgasm during some leisurely elliptical activity than a heart-pounding workout. They tend to happen from intense, demanding exercise. See, I was right. I was right. It has to be someone who's in high, high shape and who can do those intense workouts, right? For example, women who experience them while doing crunches, they pretty much never happen on the fifth crunch, and are more likely to happen on the 50 to 100 crunches, or even more. I used to do, this is crazy, but I used to do up to 1,000 sit-ups every day. I had myself there. Yeah, I was one of those people. What do they call it? They call it exercise bulimic. I was told I needed to back off, that I was working out too much. But then I look at Olympic stars and sports stars, they're doing exactly what I was doing, right? To get in shape. And yeah, I was just, you know, I wanted to get certain muscles in shape and that wasn't happening. So I knew this certain thing was working and I would just do more of it, right? So someone like me who maybe takes it to the extreme, or not, maybe not even extreme, but just wanting to get in the best possible shape, this might happen. Okay. Corgasms might happen. Order matters. Herbenick has found that EIO may be more likely if you first warm up with cardio for at least 20 minutes, then launch into the abdominal portion of your workout rather than doing strength, then cardio. You know, most people do that. Most people do cardio first and then they do the workout, they do the strength afterwards, because most people don't like cardio. They just want to get it over with. They would rather, you know, do the strength training, because, you know, you don't have to be doing it in a certain amount of time. You can take breaks between lifting or doing certain moves. Okay. Relax and receive. Just like during sex, if your mind is closed off or distracted when exercising, you're less likely to have an orgasm. That's not to say you should actively focus on sexual fantasies to have an EIO. I mean, if you're focusing on sexual fantasies, you're probably going to have an orgasm, right? If it works for you, go for it. But Herbernick has found it's not necessary to fantasize in order to induce an exercise orgasm. I don't know how, but that's just me. It's more focusing on the workout so your body and mind are fully immersed in the experience. It's hard to truly work your core or any part of your body if your mind is elsewhere. I kind of disagree with that. I think sex and having orgasms is 90% or more in your head, like in your brain. You know, everything else it contributes to it. Of course, you need the touch, the kiss, whatever. You need the penetration, whatever. Whoever, it depends on the person. But I'd say 90% of it's in your brain. It's what you're thinking. It's how excited this person's getting you. If you're looking at somebody, it's because your brain is telling you that person is gorgeous or they're attractive to you. You know, one person may not be as attractive as another person is to somebody, but, you know, everybody has their preferences. It's what they're saying. It's how much you care about them. It's the relationship you have with them. You know, what I've talked about in the past about foreplay being something that you're doing all the time with somebody. It's how you treat somebody, all the way through to how you do sexual foreplay before you have sex. So it's all sort of this mental, emotional, cerebral thing that leads up to sex being what it is. 90% of it. 10% is the act. And yeah, you have to make sure that you're doing the act pretty well too. Because that's only what? It's only going to take up 10% of your day, right? The actual act. So, okay. Engage your lower abs. Common corgasm exercises include leg lifts on the captain's chair, pull-ups, chin-ups, and climbing exercises, probably due to part and how demanding they are on the core abdominal muscles. So if people are repellers or mountain climbers or, you know, hill climbers or whatever, they're probably more likely to have a corgasm. I don't know. In Somerset's survey, he found that hanging leg raises were 5 times more likely to cause EIO than any other move. With these kinds of exercises, you have to contract your pelvic floor in order to bring your legs up. Well, I could see that. You do. I mean, do one, and you'll see what I mean. Try performing different moves that loop in your ab muscles and see where that gets you. Even though these are expert-approved guidelines, feel free to mix it up until you find what might work for you. Women have reported EIOs and EISPs for moves as diverse as glute bridges and hiking. But in the end, exercise-induced orgasms won't happen for everyone. Habernick has found that about 10% of women and men have experienced one, which means it's not the most common thing in the world, just like not everyone orgasms from fantasy or from direct clitoral stimulation or from vaginal intercourse. Not everyone will orgasm from exercise. We're all a little different, and that's okay. What's important is that women feel that they can explore their bodies and their sexuality in ways that feel good to them. It says, what do you think if you don't think you can have one? If you've tried various techniques but still aren't having an orgasm during exercise, you're still in luck. The good news is that working out can boost your sex life even if you're not actively orgasming while you do it. Cardiovascular exercises help to keep the heart strong and your veins and arteries in good condition. That's essential for good sex. Since blood flow is a necessary part of sexual arousal, when you feel aroused, blood flow increases to the genitals, which helps with vaginal lubrication for women and erections for men, like I said before. There's also the fact that exercise helps you stay flexible and boost your general endurance, great for the times you want to go all night. So yeah, I've always said in these podcasts that if you want to have better sex, if you want to, you know, get rid of erectile dysfunctions, any kind of dysfunctions that you're having, you better be in good shape. You know, and if you are in good shape, then, you know, if you're still having issues, then something's wrong and you need to go to a doctor and find out what that is. But, yeah, being in good shape is definitely going to make the life in the boudoir a lot more pleasant, because not only what she was saying about the blood flow, heart-wise, etc., if you are more flexible, if you are in shape, if you are strong muscularly, you're going to be able to try a lot of different things in the bedroom with your partner that maybe you wouldn't be able to try if you were in bad shape. You know, I think that's why you see people who have gotten out of shape, they just keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter, because of gaining more weight, because they're not having sex. You know, they stopped having sex because they're out of shape, and so now they're just keep getting heavier. And I can guarantee you a lot of people who are big couples are not having a lot of sex. I mean, I've talked to friends who are bigger, and that's the main thing that they say is, well, he's too big and I'm too big. And I mean, it's hard to have sex when there's a lot of fat in between you and that other person. And it's really hard for some people to be aroused by someone who isn't taking care of themselves, who doesn't care about themselves, who isn't concerned about how they look. Like I've said in other podcasts, you know, I actually probably get in better shape when I'm with somebody, because I know that that person's going to be seeing me naked all the time. And so I want to look good when I'm naked, because my partner's going to be seeing all of it, and they're going to see everything. So you want to make sure you look good. And I'm so much more motivated to stay in shape when I'm with somebody than when I'm not with somebody, right? When you're not with somebody, if you're deciding not to date, it's really easy to kind of fall back on your workout routine and not do what you should. But on the flip side of that, I think once you have been in regularly good shape for a matter of years, you know, even if it's just for a few years, if you've been in good shape your whole life, even you, when you gain weight, you're like, oh boy, this doesn't feel good. Or when you start to get out of shape, oh, I don't feel good. And you know it's because you're not doing your workouts every day. You know it's because you're not staying in shape. So then it's really motivating to get back in shape knowing that. They say there's a lot of kids that grow up heavy and then they get into adulthood and are still heavy. And that's why they're not motivated to work out. That's why they're not motivated to get in shape, because they don't know how good it feels to be in shape because they've never been in shape. They've grown up in families that were obese or whatever. So they don't know the payoff of having good health and being in really good shape. The payoffs of not only feeling good, but the payoffs of having great sex, being able to feel good during sex, being able to feel good all the time, and not having aches and pains and stomach problems and all those things that come along with not being healthy. So they say it's really hard to motivate a kid who's now an adult who's grown up their whole lives overweight, because they don't understand what it feels like, right? And they don't think it gets any better than that. When, you know, logically you would think they would understand that, but they've lived it their whole lives. And that's why we're having the obesity problem, not just in America, but all around the world, where people are not losing weight because they've grown up in it. You know, we've grown up in this industrial, you know, consumerism, get whatever you want, never have to get up and even turn on the TV because we've got remote controls. Like, people don't have to move. You could not move all day and still accomplish a lot. You have laptops, your phones, your TVs, you know, you could get everything done by never moving. And it's sort of scary, right? So we have to, you know, try to encourage people to keep moving, which I think that's why we're also seeing a rise in simple home equipment that just gets you moving. And we're talking, you know, you look at some of those commercials where they have the older people, or, you know, people of any age, really, and there's a machine that they put their feet on as they're sitting at the couch that just moves their feet back and forth. Well, you know what that does? that keeps them from, you know, that keeps the blood flowing, that keeps the joints moving, that keeps those joints getting lubricated. Just those simple movements so that people don't end up sitting and never being able to move again, right? Because arthritis will set in, the joints will start freezing up. I mean, just simple walking every day is, and we're talking, you know, getting those 10,000 steps in every day. And it's true. If you, you know, a lot of doctors are trying now to say, well, you don't need 10,000 steps. Bull, you need 10,000 steps a day. You need to be moving. In fact, you know, you must do that every day, or you are going to start, your body's going to just be told, basically going to get the message, you're dying, right? Because that's what's happening. If you, when you gain weight, when you start getting arthritis, when you start getting out of shape, when that weight starts affecting your joints, that is a signal to the body that you're old. And the body will respond and make you age faster. I don't know if you've noticed that people who drink, smoke, don't take care of themselves, gain weight, they age a lot faster. And you see people who are older who look 20 to 30 years younger than most counterparts out there do. It's because they kept moving. They drank water. They ate right. They exercised. They took care of themselves. They didn't take drugs. They didn't smoke. They didn't, you know, eat the wrong kinds of foods. They may even have been vegetarians their whole life. That has been proven to keep you from aging. So when you make the right choices, it pays off. Same thing with sex, right? So maybe the reason we're not hearing a lot about this is because so many people are out of shape that there's only a small percentage of the population that may or may not experience a corgasm. And so that's why we're not hearing a lot about these corgasms, because a lot of people are just not in shape. And that maybe under 25% who are in shape, there's only maybe a 1-2% in that 25% that may experience corgasms because they're in excellent shape and it happens for them. Or, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, my own theory, it may be people who aren't having a lot of sex who are in shape, mind you, not the people who are out of shape. But the people who are in shape, who do eat right, who do take care of themselves, but they're just not having a lot of one-on-one sex with another person. So the body is sort of responding at that moment when they've, you know, when you're doing an exercise, that is a lot like a sexual position, right? And the body's responding by taking that moment to have an orgasm because it's sort of this thing that the body's been waiting to do. Those organs are there for a reason, people. You need to use them. I know that the old phrase, use it or lose it, is a joke. But it's not just about using or losing it. It's that that is natural to use your sexual organs. That's what they were made for. They were made for us to have sex, to enjoy sex, to have fun with sex. But sex leads to having babies, and that's what they were made for, right? So we're supposed to use those areas of our body. We're supposed to, even if it's you by yourself with sex toys or masturbating, if you even do that, if you even use sex toys and masturbate on your own and just fantasize, right? You're doing more than some people do. So maybe these people who are having these corgasms aren't even doing that, because shame-based religions, shame-based social mores, whatever, has been told to them that that's wrong, you shouldn't be masturbating, whatever. And by the way, masturbating is natural, you should be doing it, everyone should be doing it. Not out in the open, not watching other people in public, in the privacy of your own bedroom, because the other one is sick. But yeah, if you're doing it in the privacy of your own life, in your own bedroom, on your own, do whatever you need to do to make yourself feel good. You know, and yes, that is still a level of sex. If you're having these crazy wonderful orgasms because you've learned how to masturbate really well, or you've learned how to use your sex toys really well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do it. Do it every day. You know, just don't do it to extremes, right? That's called sex addiction. When you're doing it too much. So yeah, I think that a lot of people who are having these, it's just a natural body response to not having an orgasm for maybe years, months to years, right? So that's just my personal opinion. Maybe the reason, I'd like to experience it just to know what it's like, but I am a sexually active person. I don't shy away from sex. I like sex. So maybe my body is saying, you don't need that. You don't need to experience that because you are somebody who, you know, is with your partner on a regular basis or whatever. Or you masturbate on a regular basis, whatever. So if that's what you're experiencing, you know, then your body is probably not going to give you a corgasm. Because you are regularly sexually active, which is healthy to be sexually active every day. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be having sex every day. Some people probably have sex less than that or are still happy with that. But, like I've said in the past, research has proven having sex every day lengthens your life, makes you happier, contributes to health, etc., etc. Because, you know, of course it would. Sex is a great, fun thing. It feels good, and it's a great, you know, physical activity. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think? You guys, like I said in the last podcast, is anybody's, the same Corgasm podcast, if anyone's experienced this and would feel comfortable talking about it, again, we don't need to use names, or you just talk about it. But it would be great to find people who've experienced this and talk to them about how it's happened, why they think it's happening to them. Is it because you haven't had sex? Is it because you're not masturbating? Is it because you grew up in a religious sector, something like that, that has taught you and that, you know, this is bad to do or whatever? You know, let's talk about that. Message me and let me know. And we'll get together for a podcast. Okay. What do you guys think? Let me know. And until the next time, Amorous Eclectic.